Podcast that you're listening to is being presented to you in cooperation with the SJ Network. If you're a person who'd like to appear on a podcast, contact Stephen Joyner at s-j-network.com. Let's get on with the show.
Today, on Too Many Podcasts, we're talking with Jordan Rontog, who produces and co-hosts the podcast Too Much Information.
That's one of the Sherpa's favorite podcasts. Speaking of the Sherpa, did you hear that when he won a game, he was arrested for throwing a ball in the crowd?
That's unusual. How does something like that even happen?
Well, apparently, it's frowned upon in bowling.
Welcome to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts. Now, podcasting from the Sherpa Chalet on Mount Podcastia, here's your host, Jim, the podcast Sherpa.
Hello there, Rebels of the Sherpalution. Welcome to Too Many Podcasts. It is the podcast about podcasts and so much more. Jim, the podcast Sherpa, coming to you from the Sherpa Chalet high atop Mount Podcastia, looking out the window at all those mountains and mountains of podcasts that are out there. Of course, I've got another great interview for you with a really cool podcaster that we're going to get to in just a minute. Now, I got to tell you something. This week has been really super crazy. Last night, I was up kind of late working on an interview with next week's guest, and I have an interview today, and an interview tomorrow scheduled, and another interview after that scheduled the following day. So, you know, it's going to take a lot of energy. So I'm sure you probably have days like that where you know you're going to need some energy and you're going to need to feel alert and focused and motivated. So, as I mentioned in the previous episode, were you listening to the previous episode? Well, listen now. I've been taking something called Magic Mind, and it is a 2-ounce liquid shot that is made with matcha and a bunch of other good ingredients that will help improve your attention span, your ability to process new information, it'll improve your memory, it'll even reduce stress and anxiety. It's all nootropic stuff. That's what they call it, nootropics. Fancy word. I like that. I'm definitely feeling a lot more awake and alert and definitely focusing on the tasks at hand that are given to me as your podcast Sherpa. You know, and it's not like I drank like 9 cups of coffee and I'm all jittery and jumpy. No. None of that stuff, folks. It's just feeling awake and focused and in the zone. And you don't have that caffeine rush. You don't have that caffeine crash. It's not like you're all sugared up on stuff and you're on a sugar high. No, this is all really healthy stuff, good for the brain. And they've got science to back up all of what they do. And I'm sure you want to look into this, but if you're going to check them out, this is a special that's been running the month of January, and this is your last opportunity for January to get a nice little deal. If you go to the link in my show notes, and it's www.magicmind.com/Jan, capital J-A-N for January, Too Many Podcasts, and use my code Too Many Podcasts 20, the number 20. You get a month for free of Magic Mind when you're subscribing for 3 months. And not only that, the code will get you an extra 20% off, which gets you to a 75% off discount. This only lasts till the end of January, which is today. So go do that now. If you want to check it out, don't worry, there'll be more specials next week, just in case you forget. So check out Magic Mind and watch your attention span and your focus get better and better. See, I'm focused now, and I'm so focused, I can tell you about our guest today.
Who's our guest today, Sherpa?
His name is Jordan Rontog. He is the producer and co-host of a podcast that I can proudly say that I subscribe to, and I really enjoy. It is called Too Much Information. It is a pop culture deep dive in these guys, yes, Jordan, and his co-host, Alex Heigl, who unfortunately could not make the interview. We'll get into that later. This is what they do, and these guys are super nice, too. I had a lot of fun getting to know Jordan and hanging out with him, and we had a couple of things in common, and we got to talk about that, and you'll learn a little bit about how they do the show and how they set it up and some of the other projects that he's got going on. Jordan is a busy guy too. Maybe he might even want some Magic Mind. Well, we'll have to find out. And after the interview, we will be featuring this week's Sherpa Selects. So let's get it started with my conversation with Jordan Rontog of Too Much Information. Hello, the Rebels. We are here coming to you from the Sherpa Chalet. I have got a very special guest on the other side of this little camera thing. You know, when I get to do these shows, it's especially a treat for me when it's a podcast that I've been listening to for quite some time. I've listened to everything but 20 episodes so far, and I know that we will be, I'll be caught up on that pretty soon. As you guys know how I like to listen to podcasts. My guest, I guess you can probably figure it out right now. He is a podcast producer, a journalist who's written for People, VH1.com, Rolling Stone, Entertainment Weekly, and a whole bunch of other online publications that you probably know. Like, you know, Yahoo! See, I did that really well. And he has also created some podcasts called Off the Record, Rivals, Music's Greatest Feuds, Inside the Studio, and the podcast that I am subscribing to called Too Much Information. Mr. Jordan Rontog is right here. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Well, all but 20, that's a higher success rate or higher listener rate than my own family. Good Lord. Thank you so much.
I asked my wife, do you listen to my podcast? She's like, you have a podcast?
Yeah. See.
I was like, I'm glad those 300 episodes have gone to good use in the meantime. So Jordan, for those of you who've never heard the show, co-hosts it with a guy named Alex Heigl, who is not here today, but you know, it's because he owes me money. And wait a minute. No, I owe him money. I had the paper upside down. So we have a strange accounting system here.
Hey, you had us on, so we owe you money.
That's right. You know, I was doing a little homework, and
I'm so scared what you're about to dredge up.
You're safe, Jordan. Don't worry. It's still early. It's still early, my friend. I noticed, like, you know, there is an age difference between the two of us, but we've got two interesting things in common. Two of your favorite albums are actually two of my favorite albums, Beatles Revolver and Beach Boys Pet Sounds.
That, oh my God, you are speaking directly to my heart, sir. Those are the two pieces of art that probably mean the most to me. There's a really great podcast called My Favorite Album, and I waxed poetic on that for way too long. They probably cut it down. It was probably hours. And I have above me right now an autographed set list from Brian Wilson when he was doing the Pet Sounds anniversary tour a couple years ago, that my cousin was doing lights for him, and he got it signed for me. And it's one of my most cherished possessions. Yeah, anyone who's not familiar with either of those albums, even though they're like top of Rolling Stone's greatest albums of all times list, you've probably heard of them, but check them out. They are truly spectacular, and they yield something new with each listen. I promise you that.
Do you have anything that rounds out a top five? I know you do a lot of music writing, so that's probably got to be a little tricky for you.
Oh, man. Oh, that's really tough. Oh, I'm gonna, you know, I mean, I feel like the guy in High Fidelity now. Like, I'm kind of melting down. Like, okay, I know, because I've thought of this for so long, and now I'm actually being asked that, and I'm freezing up. I'm trying to think. I love Simon or Garfunkel. That's a huge one for me. I love, actually, one of my favorite artists. It kind of bucks the classic rock trend, but I love Ben Folds, who's a singer songwriter, incredible. I mean, he's the Jimi Hendrix of piano. He would do shows where he would just stand up and stick Altoid tins inside the piano and get all these weird sounds out of it. And he just, if you can shred on a piano, which I'm not totally sure you can, he can. He's an album called Whatever and Ever Amen, which is really great. That's probably one of my favorite albums too, but I owe you the other two. I'm blanking right now. Who's Quadrophenia, maybe? That's up there.
Okay. I would actually say Who's Next is one of my...
Ooh, yeah.
That's an easy one, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, I owe you one. But before this episode's over, in the back of my mind, I'm going to keep thinking, maybe something by the band? Maybe a Brown album by the band? I don't know. I'll get back to you.
We'll stop recording and you go, I know what it is now.
I know. I'm going to say I'm going to go to my record collection right now.
Now, also, number two thing that we have in common, we have both been contestants on game shows for pop culture.
It was 10 years ago today that really? I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Today. I can't believe you're asking me that. Yeah, I was just, I had all these Facebook, you know, memory things pop up today that reminded me I lost $1 million, which is a great, I didn't get to the $1 million question, but that's how my brain chooses to. I had an opportunity to get $1 million and I failed. But what were you on?
There was a game show called The Million Second Challenge with Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, man.
A continuous trivia thing. It went through like they televised it and it still went on through the night. I was playing a guy from Slate Magazine at like 1 o'clock in the morning. Trivia.
That's not fair. That's like, yeah, 1 o'clock in the morning. That's when everybody's faculties are starting to diminish. That's tough.
Yeah.
It's an endurance test. Wow.
It was a lot of fun. It was a really interesting experience. I mean, especially there was like a sense of community between all the contestants because everybody was like seeing like, let's see how good you are at this kind of trivia. And, you know, and like
a we trivia were trail of tears.
It got to the point where it was like that person get knocked out. Yeah. They're like, oh, they got knocked out. And everybody was like cheering. And it was crazy.
How'd you do?
Well, I didn't win anything. I played in one round and I lost. The guy from Slate was a journalist such as yourself. And he wrote an article about it. And in the article, he took creative license and said that I actually beat him, even though he beat me.
Do you remember the question? Because I'm haunted every night by the question that I got wrong. It's been 10 years now and I still get night terrors over it.
It was actually just a group of questions. It was like whoever answered four questions. So he outdid me. But there were like Bugs Bunny questions in there. And I was like, boom, I can't know these.
Nice. Oh, I got to look that up. I've never. So Seacrest was on. I got to find that. I got to look that up and see if it's online.
It was interesting, too, because when I got there, it was like the second night that they were doing production. And I was talking with one of the folks that worked there. And they said that the first night was bedlam because even some of the rules they were unclear on. They were just kind of like fixing things as they were going along, which is probably why it wasn't such a memorable game show, I guess.
Oh, I got to check that out. Sounds cool.
Might have the article. If I have the article, I will send it to you.
Oh, please. Yeah.
Now, you and Alec, you originally worked together. That's how you guys ended up coming together for the podcast.
Yes, we met on my first day at People Magazine, and my beloved boss Sarah Michaud, because I went to work at People Magazine, and you know it was all Justin Bieber and the Kardashians and you know Real Housewives of Orange County or wherever, and of course the first words out of my mouth were, "Can I interview Paul McCartney? You know, can I interview Pete Townsend? Can I interview Keith Richards?" And she very quickly said, "You know what?" Like, she very quickly sized up that I didn't really belong there. And she said, "You know, I think there's a guy here that you're going to really like. Let me go introduce you to him." So she led me over to his desk. And it was an unholy love at first sight. Bonded over, I think, rock and roll right away. And within a couple of weeks, he invited me to join his band. And I played bass for his band, The World's Greatest Detective. That's a shameless plug there. I was in his band pretty much 4 or 5 years until COVID, really.
Yeah.
Kind of made playing around bars and clubs in New York pretty tough. But yeah, we've been friends ever since. We went and played in a band together, went on tour together and talk every day and send each other ridiculous pop culture things, usually about Michael Caine. And then as soon as I had this idea for this show, he was the first person I thought of because he's the only person I know who's, you know, got more useless information than I do. So yeah, this is two of us. It was kind of a runaway chain reaction of trivia, which is weird because we've never done pub trivia together.
Yeah, I was saying you guys probably would be a force to reckon with, I think.
We got a lot of holes, though. We don't. Sports isn't really our thing. And I feel like geography maybe isn't really our thing either. I feel like in specific areas we'd be good, but there's a lot that we know a lot about a little, but there's a lot that we doesn't even enter our our consciousness.
A few summers ago, I was over at my parents' house, and there was this ice cream place, very nice ice cream place that was near them. And they did like a trivia night, and this guy was playing music, and it was like, okay, can you name that tune? And there were a whole bunch of people that, like, nobody knew the songs except me. But I was like, I didn't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
It's actually walking up to people and whispering in the air going, you know, it's Madonna, like a verse.
Well, I was in college. One of my gigs was I was like an understudy at this bar in my hometown outside of Boston that did an incredible trivia night every Tuesday. And it was run by my very, 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 very dear friend. And whenever he couldn't do it, because he was like Central Massachusetts' favorite son, and he always had DJ events everywhere. I was like, whenever Carson couldn't do the Tonight Show, I was the John Rivers or whatever. I would go in and guest host these trivia nights, and it was a blast. So now I always feel kind of like, it feels like I'm not allowed to be participating in this. Like, as an ex-host, it feels like cheating in a weird way.
You got the unfair advantage.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, you guys did an interview on, I think the name of the podcast was Pod Stew.
Yes. Yeah. Right when we launched TMI. Yeah.
Right. And there was something that you said that I really respected. And, you know, they were talking about when you guys picked the subjects to do for your show. And you said, you know, you said basically that we don't want to do the low hanging fruit, like the Seinfelds and, you know, and Friends and Star Wars, like right off the bat.
Well, it's two reasons. One is that there's already a whole mythology around it, and there's books written about it, and the mm-hmm. fans have really, those fans have been, I mean, I hate to speak like this, but those fans have been served. I mean, that's stuff that, you know, has been out there for so long, and there's a whole cottage industry of people that tell those stories. And also, it makes it really intimidating for Heiko and I trying to research these. We're thinking, oh, geez, there's a lot to cover right now. So maybe we'll just let Star Wars and Star Trek and Friends and X-Files and all that go. But yeah, really, it was just trying to do stuff that, you know, if we're curious about it, we hope that other people will be too. And the stuff like, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer and all those cult shows that have such a really active fandom. Yeah, it just felt like that already exists. And we wanted to find stuff that people didn't really think much about. Like, oh my God, yeah, The Princess Bride. I used to love that movie as a kid. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I want to go see, you know, what kind of stories with, you know, Billy Crystal on the set or Christopher Guest or whatever. Or, you know, oh my God, yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody. Bohemian Rhapsody was probably one of the more mainstream ones we did. But I'm trying to think. I think we have one. We're going to do one on Fleetwood Mac's Tusk, because we love the weirdness of Tusk coming up. And Fleetwood Mac's pretty low hanging fruit too. Those do really well. But yeah, we thought that something that was like a little left of center, something that enough people knew and loved, but it hadn't been done to death.
Now it's interesting, because I think the people who do listen to your show, they seem to, you know, I guess, sense very differing opinions between the two of you. So I'm wondering, how do you guys end up picking a topic? Are you drawing straws? Are you throwing darts at something?
It's kind of boiled down to, okay, one for me, one for you. All right. You sat through 2 hours of Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade for me. You could do The Exorcist. So we kind of are, you know, it's the sweet and sour thing. Like, okay, you did the Brady Bunch for me. We can do, you know, Silence of the Lambs for you, or Big Trouble in Little China, or something that I know he really loves. Because my favorite episodes are when there's nothing funnier to me than when Heigl hates something. There's nothing. It's just so, because he's the funniest person in the world when he's angry. And I say that with all love. I love him like a brother, because it's really about our differing philosophies or how we approach the show. Mm-hmm. I don't care if I don't like the topic, because I find the stories behind the making of,
right,
you know, I mean, Britney Spears' Crossroads, for example, like I don't particularly love that movie, but I'm fascinated by the making of it and the behind the scenes stories of it. And, you know, there's a million examples like that. Heigl can't look past, like, I hate this movie. I don't want to talk about Grease. I don't want to talk. It's usually like the syrupy sweet, you know, Xanadu or something like that, where he's just like, I don't really. And that's where we differ. But I love what Margaritaville. I don't think he's ever forgiven me for making him talk about Margaritaville by Jimmy Buffett for 2 hours, whatever it was.
I listened to The All I Want for Christmas Is You, and he referred to it as the Monster Mash's evil twin. Not holding their anything back there.
Oh, he's believe me, I'm the guy who edits these episodes. I've cut out much worse of everything. We still get some angry iTunes reviews from people who are like, yeah, Alex is really grumpy. It's like, yeah, that's the stuff I let you hear.
Okay, so can we talk about actually some of the other projects that you're working on? Or
yeah, of course.
Everything, okay, nothing's under wraps yet or anything like that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so what kind of stuff, apart from TMI, are you guys working on?
At the moment, Heigl and I don't have anything definitive. We have a couple other ideas for shows that we want to try to pitch that we got to get together. I'm on staff at iHeartRadio, which is the company that does TMI. He's not, and he has a real job, and he's also in a band, and he does all sorts of stuff. So I want to be, you know, respectful of his time. For me, I am, just because I'm on staff at iHeart, they always have me doing a whole rotating slate of different shows. The one that took like 6 months out of my life, almost nonstop, where I was putting in like 16, 17, 18 hour days by the end, was a show about, it's called Stones Touring Party. Mm-hmm. And it's about the Rolling Stones 1972 tour of North America, which is kind of the, you know, if you think about Almost Famous and that whole like era of like early 70s rock, that tour is the blueprint for that. It's the tour that you know, motorcycles being driven down the hallways in hotels and big parties and private jets and
right,
just an entourage of 40 people, including a doctor who's sole purpose was prescribing drugs. I mean, it was just like crazy, just total insanity. Nights spent at the Playboy Mansion, and it just was complete lunacy. And we had 60 hours of never before heard interviews that were done with the band on that tour in 1972. So we turned it into like kind of part travel log, part rock and roll history, with a little bit of true crime, because this was the tour right after the Death at the Rolling Stones concert at Altamont, where the Hell's Angels killed the Spectator.
Right.
And the Hell's Angels basically felt like, you know, you hired us to be security, and there was a security problem and we took care of it. And now you left us high and dry with, you know, blood on our hands. What the hell, Mick Jagger? So there was this whole rumor during this 1972 tour that the Hell's Angels were going to be out to try to assassinate Mick Jagger.
Really?
It was this real... It was more than a rumor. I mean, there was a hit out on him it was kind of made itself known through underground circles. So it was a very scary tour. They traveled with bodyguards, and Mick and Keith were packing guns the whole time. And so there's that kind of suspense hanging over the tour. But it was cool. Every episode is a different tour stop, and we kind of use that location as a jumping off point to talk about America in 1972. And this was, you know, the tour kicked off, I think, a week after the Watergate break-in. So the Vietnam protests were still raging, and the murder at Kent State for peaceful protests, murder of peaceful protesters at Kent State had just happened. A lot was going on at that time. So it was cool to kind of use this tour. I mean, it was America at this pivotal moment as seen through the eyes of the most famous British rock and roll band on the planet. So it was, brought a lot of things together. It was cool. It was tough to do, though. It was like there was about 3-4 months where I worked 7 days a week from 4:35 in the morning until I passed out at 11 o'clock or midnight, and just get up and do it all over again. And that was a time for any listeners of TMI who are listening to me talk now. There was a time over the summer and in the fall when our episodes became a little sparse, and that was why, because I was just desperately trying to finish that Stones thing. So that's a big one. Then I have a show coming up. I'm producing a talk show with the legendary singer Paul Anka, the last of the Rat Packers, really. It's going to be Paul and his friend, this incredible guy, Skip Bronson, who's a business guy out in California. They have been friends for 30 something years, and they have just this insane Rolodex between them. And We've got, who have we had? We got Jason Bateman, Bill Burr. Apparently, President Macron of France is on deck.
wow.
I'm trying to think of who else. Yeah, we've just got all sorts of people. Michael Bublé. It's a really fun show. They're going to be talking to some amazing people. And, you know, I mean, Paul Anka's a legend. He's got all sorts of stories about, you know, Frank Sinatra called him the kid because he was like the young kid in the Rat Pack group. He's got all sorts of stories about Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin and all those cats. So that'll be a fun show, too. And that's going to be launching. The trailer will probably be out by the time this episode's premiering. It's going to be out on Wednesday, the 31st of January. And the first episode's going to be the 7th of February. And yeah, I was looking forward to that.
And you can say you did it your way.
It's a show is called Our Way. Yep.
There you go.
Yep. It's too easy. It's too easy. We had to. It's money on the table.
Absolutely. So, you know what? While I got here, give me a little peek into like what the life of an iHeart podcast producer is like. What is your day mostly revolve around?
A lot of days, especially when we're recording, it's literally sitting in a padded room talking to yourself. So it's not unlike being in an asylum. Wow. Yeah. Every day is different. Some days are more writing and research intensive, especially for something like TMI or that Rolling Stone show. I also did a show on a biography show about David Bowie, which was it took about a year and was like writing a novel. The scripts were like something like 300 pages and had 400 or 500 pages of notes. So it's a lot of I think Tina Fey was the one who said that being a writer is like having homework every day for the rest of your life. It's a lot of that when you're doing a lot of the writing and researching, because that's the stuff that I handle directly is usually very history based and research based. And then the other half is a lot of production work. Just on the phone all day. I mean, working on a show now where one of the hosts is traveling in Mexico, and they at the last minute decided they wanted to interview a subject who is in Mexico, and they don't have a mobile recording unit down there. So trying to figure out how to get them set up with recording equipment in a foreign country on 24 hours notice. Getting sometimes when we have guests on. Some shows I work on, they want a camera crew to film some of it. So we get those in. And then some episodes, they want to sing a song. So we got to get the rights cleared. And it's, yeah, a lot of the just laundry list of little things you don't really think about until, you've got the lawyers saying, can you use that song? Or, somebody saying, we want to record right now. How can we? It's a lot of putting out fires, I guess, but never a dull moment. I'll tell you that. I mean, my favorite part of my job, and I may regret putting this out there, but is that I field a lot of pitches from outside people, from freelance people who have a podcast idea that they want to try to pitch to iHeart to see if they pick it up. And I love talking to people. I love hearing their ideas. When possible, I love bringing it to my bosses and seeing if we can make it happen. And, it's definitely nothing's promised, but, I love trying. I love hearing people who are enthusiastic about their ideas and seeing what we can do with it. That's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to see something that could spark into something incredibly popular, And knowing that, it was just because you took a chance on that person, that's got to be fantastic.
That's really cool. Yeah. I mean, I was a screenwriting major in college and just... to me, it's all about the idea, and whoever has the idea, it doesn't matter who, that's the one you go with. Like, that's really it's just all about nurturing that and seeing it through. And it's cool. I've got scripts that I'm working on in my free time and other things. Like, I know what it's like to talk to somebody and be really passionate about something and to hope that that passion connects with them and resonates with them, and they start vibrating on that same passion and frequency too. So I love that. I know what that means from having been on the other side of the conversation for most of my life and career. So I am always very grateful that people are trusting me with their ideas, first of all. And when I can try to make it happen, that makes me feel good.
So, Jordan, because you are surrounded by podcasts, obviously, we've seen that you work for iHeart Podcasts. I was wondering, what are some of the ones that you like to listen to?
I mean, this is embarrassing. It's such a huge part of my job. I usually when I'm on my own time, if I'm not listening to something for work, just to give, you know, an opinion on it, I'm usually listening to music. My favorite show, and I haven't listened to it in a long time, I've kind of fallen off, but the show that kind of turned me on to the potential of what the podcast could be, especially for somebody who loves narrative storytelling and history, was Corinna Longworth's You Must Remember This.
Okay.
An amazing show for anyone who, loves like silver screen era Hollywood and has never heard this show, you will absolutely love it. It's the seedy underbelly, the Sunset Strip, the Hollywood Boulevard type stories from 1920s to 1950s. Although I think recently she's gotten more into the 80s and 90s Hollywood stories, the seedy underbelly, the corrosive feuds and murders and just all that delicious nasty stuff. It's sort of the podcast equivalent of Kenneth Anger's Hollywood Babylon. It's so great. She's an amazing writer and storyteller. It's insanely well researched. It's so cool. So I think that you'll definitely dig that if you're into pop culture history and especially movies.
And we have a portion of the show, and it is called Shameless Self-Promotion. And this is where you can let everybody know where to find out what you're doing.
Shameless self-promotion. Shameless self-promotion.
Oh, man. Well, I'm on Twitter. Just my name, Jordan Runtagh, JORDANRUNTAGH. That's usually where I post either episodes or I still freelance write on occasion. So if I have a new article out or something, I'll put it there. Yeah, that's kind of the best place for me.
Okay. There we have, that was nice and easy. Everybody has a list. You just kept it nice and simple for me, Joy.
I mean, this whole show has been a shameless self-promotion. I feel bad. No, I mean, I just for anyone who's listening to TMI or thinking about it as a result of this episode, like, thank you. It's a real labor of love for Alex and I. It's just a celebration of, it's a safe place for nerds. That's how Hegel would always describe it. You know, I feel like being enthusiastic and passionate about stuff is generally seen as not very cool. And I think that, you know, we both want to change that perception. We think that enthusiasm and passion is you know, in short supply in this world. And that's what we kind of try to bring with in our own little way with this TMI show. And we hope you enjoy it. If there's any topics that you want to hear us delve into, tweet it, either one of us. And, you know, always looking for suggestions. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun as long as the cigar chomping studio executive doesn't stop all over it, right?
I can't do it. Hegel does that one. I can't do it. Yeah, we have a lot of recurring bits, and one of them is a cigar chomping executive who ruins our fun.
Hey, Mr. Jordan Runtagh, too much information is the one that I'm listening to, but he's got so much more going on. Check him out on social media and all those other podcasts that he's doing. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Now it's time for Sherpa Samples. If you've got a podcast you'd like us to sample, contact us, and we'll mention your name on the show.
And now it's time for Sherpa Samples, and this is the portion of the program where I get to do my little deep dive into some of the podcasts that are out here in Mount Podcastia, high and low, and I'm checking them out just to let you know what they're all about. And like the man says, if there's a show that you want me to sample, just let me know and we will mention your name on the show. So we will kick things off by talking about The Intelligence from The Economist. And The Economist is a pretty well-respected brand of podcasts, and they talk about a lot of different subjects in their program. Native Land Pod is hosted by two ladies and a gentleman, and they are very good-looking people. If you look at their cover art, somebody actually questioned, were they an R&B group from the 90s? And I could see that. They're very, very good-looking, but also people with a media background, and they talk about items in the news, and they offer a perspective from the Black community. Cover Up the Body Brokers is about folks who were running a funeral home, and they were actually taking body parts out of corpses and selling them. Against the Odds was actually a podcast that was mentioned earlier by guest Michael Spedden, who enjoys them. And there are a lot of different stories in this podcast. And the episode that I checked out was the story of the Donner Party. And I would suggest, you know, maybe not eating lunch around the time you're listening to these episodes, because, well, if you don't know what happened, well, you might not want to know. There's some crunching involved. We'll just leave it at that. Ew. What's the matter with you, Sherpa? Diary of a CEO with Stephen Bartlett is about a CEO who meets with some of the finest minds in the planet and discusses all sorts of topics with them from week to week. The episode that I checked out actually had to do with a lot of different experts that he consulted with about different health issues. Murder 101, this is an interesting one. A group of Tennessee high school students were put on a project to work on a cold case, and it looks like they had actually found the person who committed these crimes. It was a serial killer, and yet the killer had not yet been brought to justice. And it goes into what they did and what happens in this situation. And That's Why We Drink is a combination spooky story and true crime podcast, which is hosted by two ladies, which is kind of in the same style of a lot of the other true crime podcasts that are hosted by women. They're very comical, interesting, a little unfiltered, I guess we could say, but definitely a very popular podcast as well. It's two ladies, some scary stories, and a box of wine. Therapist with Jake Shane is based off of, I think, an Instagram program of Jake Shane's, who would talk to people about their problems. Now, Jake Shane is not a psychotherapist, and he does not claim to be. And the interview that he had, he was talking with his friend about a lot of other different issues. And I guess people write in questions and ask him, you know, for his advice. I guess it's supposed to be like a comedy podcast. If, you know, if you like that kind of humor. Legion of Skanks lists itself as the most offensive podcast on the internet. And having listened to their quote-unquote best of 2023 episode, I would say they may have a pretty firm grip on that title. There is some really tasteless routines going on. It's a bunch of comedians, and they're just basically doing whatever, and it's some of it is just really... If you're a fan of gross-out humor, Legion of Skanks is just for you. And lastly, this was probably my favorite of the bunch. It's called Stop Podcasting Yourself, and it's hosted by two guys named Dave and Graham, and they're from Canada, and this is a clean podcast. And especially, I needed that after hearing Legion of Skanks. And these two gentlemen are very funny, and they have a lot of different comedic guests on their show, and really enjoyable. I'm glad I kind of rounded it out with that podcast. So I will stop podcasting myself momentarily because we're going into the outro.
Let's get back to the Sherpa.
Sorry about that.
No!
A very special thanks to Mr. Jordan Rontog for swinging by the Sherpa Chalet. And if you want more of Too Much Information, make sure you subscribe to it wherever you can hear your favorite podcasts, just like this one. I forgot what I was going to say. And you can hear both of our shows on podcast apps everywhere. And you can hear this show at our website, of course, SherpaLlusion.com, where all the episodes are. They're right there. Just pick the one that you want to hear. And also this Saturday, as will be every Saturday, you will be hearing Sherpa Selects, which are flashbacks to our earlier episodes. We've been featuring a lot from the first season because the first season was a lot of fun, and that's when people really loved me. I don't know if they still do. We will find out, I guess. And until then, don't forget you can follow me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, X, and TikTok, Sherpalution. That's the word you want to remember. And next week, it will be the first part of a two-part interview with the one, the only, Lord Mr. Bruce. And boy, we talked about all sorts of stuff. And Mr. Bruce is always fun. So be sure to come back and check that out. And until then, folks, I say to you, viva la Sherpalution.
Thanks for listening to Too Many Podcasts. Please disperse. You can go home now. I said you can go home now. Viva la Sherpalition. Viva la Sherpalition. Oh. Yell, come back now, you hear?
You know, Rebels, if you've been checking out some of my promotional ads on social media, you'll be aware that I have been using a lot of AI programs to help me create ads. But you know what? There's a lot more uses for AI than just funny little videos. And I'd like to introduce one of our new sponsors, Podium. It is a leader in creating AI tools for podcasters. Now, let's say you've got a podcast, or maybe you're even thinking of doing a podcast. You're probably wondering, well, how can AI be integrated with your workflow? I'll tell you about Podium. As a podcaster, you know that writing show notes and creating chapters and transcribing episodes takes a lot of time, and it can cost you a lot of money too. But you know what? That's where Podium comes in. It's an AI tool designed specifically for creators and podcasters with the goal of making post-production tasks quick and easy. And in just a few minutes, Podium generates show notes, chapters, summaries, clips for social media, a full transcript, suggested episode titles, social media posts, and more. Whew, that's a lot of work for one little program. Your show notes are key to your podcast success because it helps new listeners find your podcast and they'll know if it's a fit for them. You know, kind of like too many podcasts. It also improves your SEO. That's your search engine optimization. Ooh, big phrase there. And overall accessibility. And with Podium, you can focus on creating a great podcast and let Podium's AI do the heavy lifting. But Podium isn't just for solo creators and podcasters. It's a game changer for editors, producers, marketers, agencies, and production studios. Teams that use Podiums are able to increase workloads, decrease turnaround times, and improve their quality. How does it work? Very easy. First, go to Podium's website, and you'll see that link that's right there in the show notes. You get 3 hours free just to try it. Pretty cool, huh? And using that link also supports this show as well. And you know what else happens? Because I'm a good guy. You use my link, you will get 50% off for your first month. So visit the site, upload an MP3 file, and download your files, and that's it. And if you need anything else, you can use Podium GPT to generate articles and any marketing copy you might need in seconds. Instant show notes, transcripts, chapters for your podcast or channel. This will level up that podcast. So check out Podium